The unfolding of the Easter story could have been very simple and simplistic. For example, we might have had an angel appearing to the followers of Jesus and saying, "Attention, everyone, good news, Jesus is alive, and here he is," and that would have been the Easter story. The reality of the biblical account is that it much more resembles our reality. There's complex drama, there's texture, there's layers, there's ambiguities, and there is movement. Each of the gospel accounts stands on its own. Each would deserve to be examined separately. This morning, I'm going to bring them together as one narrative, taking the different elements from each of them as we think about what God has done and is doing in our lives. Shall we pray? Lord God, might the good news of Easter be real for each of us. Real in our realities. Might it speak to us, comfort us, challenge us, transform us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The biblical Easter story begins in pre-dawn darkness. This darkness is literal. The women came to the tomb early while it was still dark. It is also very meaningfully symbolic darkness. This past Wednesday, I deliberately went outside well before sunrise. Our rural subdivision has no street lights. So as I stood outside, I could experience darkness for myself, and there was some light, but not a lot. At that hour, one can't see very far. The shapes were blurred, no color. There's some light, but darkness prevails. And this is the powerful imagery of the biblical Easter story. The women who were on their way to the tomb were literally walking in near darkness. And I believe that near darkness very likely, accurately, and symbolically captures the reality of their perspective. And I want to encourage you as much as you can, as we think about and hear this story, to project yourselves backwards and use your imagination to see the scene in your mind's eye the way it would have been experienced by them. So for example, how were they walking? I don't exactly see them as skipping along the road or necessarily hurrying. More likely, they were trudging, one foot in front of the other. These women were, after all, on their way to make the final arrangements for a corpse. Their self-appointed task was to anoint a dead body. To arrive and do something with the dead body of Jesus, the one they loved. However it was that they were walking, literally, figuratively, that cannot have been easy. Thus I use the word trudging. That's emotionally deadening enough. And then there was the additional discouraging and very practical matter in front of them. Who will roll away the stone? We have a terrible thing in front of us. Can we even do that? In their darkness, their sight was limited. They could see little else other than what was in front of them, not just literally, but in terms of possibilities, few. The future, bleak. Hope, none. That was their mourning. (Clears throat) Beyond this, if we truly accept for ourselves trying to project ourselves into their situation, not simply treating them as, well, they were biblical characters and so it must have been nice, but really, what might that have been like? These were the women who had been at the cross watching the slow motion death by torture until Jesus breathed his last. And I don't think that I'm being excessively imaginative to imagine that after the crucifixion on Friday, they went to their lodging. You think they slept? I think they spent probably a mostly sleepless night. And then another day came and went. And then there was another long night. And now in that state of emotional and physical exhaustion, they go to the tomb not even knowing if they could get in to anoint the body. And thus I say, it was a dark time. It was a dark time. And it seems as if a part of our human destiny, what it is to be a human being, is that at times we walk when there is at best only some light. More accurate can be much darkness. And at these mostly hopeless times when we see in front of us dead ends, this is when you will hear people say things like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to work out. I've tried everything. I can't go on. Now, at times what stymies us are really, when you think about it, small matters. What some people say then is first world problems. I can't get my car to start. Life will go on. But it's real. Sometimes we're stymied over small matters, but sometimes it can be a devastating loss. But regardless, it seems as if we find ourselves coming to these points, and then how we frame the reality, the circumstances and scenes of our life, is that it is our lives, and we frame them in terms of our limited sight. It's all about the pronoun, I. I don't know what to do. I need to figure this out. I can't go on. At these times, and maybe it's unconscious, we proceed on our journey as if we're the only actors on stage. It's all up to us. How will we, with our limited strength, move the stones? The possibilities are limited at that point on the journey, in that frame of mind, to what we think is possible. And most certainly, compared to our limited strength, the stones are huge and immovable. When life is seen in this way, ultimately, regardless of how our journey is, at the end of the road, death is final. That is one we can't undo. So let us, as we hear this story, if this is the human condition, give these women of the Easter story a full measure of understanding and grace. How else were they to think, indeed, who will roll away the stone? Now, if you have been able to frame that story of the women, then to bring up in your mind aspects of your own life, I would ask you now to shift the scene in your mind and to produce, as it were, a split screen. Because thus far, all we have seen is one side of the split screen, which is our side. This is how things appeared in the women's humanly limited view. There's only so much light, and there's no more. And when I stood outside on Wednesday morning, no matter how I squinted, I could only see so much, and I could only wait. I could only wait. But on the other side of the split screen, there was another story, another scene, another drama and narrative which was being enacted. I think we do well to remember what Paul wrote, who said, God is the one, and listen to this language carefully. Here's our limited some light. Paul wrote, God is the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. In this screen is that which we cannot imagine, but here we are today, and we are gifted with hindsight, the hindsight provided by Scripture, and so available to us as we speak is as if the two scenes are unfolding. We know both the human side, but we have the record of what God was able to do that they at that time could not imagine. We are allowed to see that which was immeasurably more, and we can see it for ourselves. This is what God is able to do. This is what God is up to. This is what God does at the same time that we live our lives. And so we have this unfolding in the gospel of the two scenes, because even as the women are trudging along and they're worried about the stone, I don't know what we're going to do, on this side, the stone was already rolled away. They were coming toward something which God had been doing unbeknownst to them. They are prepared for a corpse, and we look at the other screen, and Jesus isn't dead, he's alive. And so there is our side, which is some light, and there is God's side, which is sunlight. I fully understand, and I think this is supported by Scripture, that it says in God's sight, a day is as a thousand years is at a day, is as a day. I don't necessarily think we need to get bogged down into the idea of simultaneous as we understand it. There is God's timing. Nevertheless, I would use this language of saying at the same time, different realities are unfolding such that, now I ask you again to walk with those women and imagine that it's you. Knowing what we know today, you could have said to them, even as we speak, dear sisters, there is another reality than this dark road, and you will know it and you will discover it as we speak. What you think is a dead end, there is sunlight. Now, what happens next when the women actually do arrive, I find so fascinating. It feels to me like, okay, this is good news. This is the end of the story. Thank goodness everything worked out fine. This is anything but what happens in the story, and it's interesting, I think, for what we learn about ourselves, perhaps. The women arrive, and they do see for themselves this other reality. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty, but somehow darkness can have such a tenacious hold on us, so that from their perspective, when they got there and saw what God had done, they said, this is worse. Now, on top of everything else, someone has stolen the body. We generally, in songs and in Scripture, we say, hallelujah, the tomb is empty. And they said, oh no, the tomb is empty. Oh no, the stone has been rolled away. Darkness can have a tenacious hold on us. I do know that sometimes when things are bad for me, it's almost as if I want to resist good news. Don't try to cheer me up. You don't understand. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not an analyst. I don't know what it is about us, but sometimes we almost want to cling to our darkness. Satan has us trapped and will not let go of those binds such that we self-imprison ourselves. It just seems so overwhelming, and it can be many things. Sometimes what can blind us is our grief. It just seems so overwhelming. It can be our guilt, our sin, our incompleteness, our circumstances. But here we have it, two screens. And how will this unfold? Us in darkness, and on the other side is God's love and God's salvation. God's already accomplished solution to light our way. I had to think how John said it. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. Now we come to what for me is the most powerful and pivotal and poignant part of the drama. Mary stands there crying. What blurs her sight is a veil of tears. Her emotion, her grief, her wounded heart are so powerful they keep her from seeing what is before her. Thinking it was the gardener, she asks, "Where is Jesus?" And the pivot is one simple word. Jesus says, "Mary. I know you. I know you by name." What clears her tears and gives her hope, not that this is irrelevant, is not some grand explanation. It is the speaking of her name in a personal way. Somehow she sees her name, which enables her to see. It occurred to me, you can't even see in the dark, but you can hear. Is that why sometimes, even as our minds and emotions have us bound up, that we will hear in music, we will hear in silence, we will hear in touch this message that says, "You yourself are loved"? God has not forgotten you. Jesus is before you, and Jesus knows you. And when Mary somehow hears Jesus speaking her name, it changes everything. Her world, her reality, her emotions, her imagination. It is as if she has moved from the one frame of what she can control and imagine into the world in which God has already acted and prepared a place for her, where it has become real what we pray: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Please, Lord God, let it be a part of my life." Mary. Oh, I see what God has done. Today, our circumstances are in some ways the same in that we are human. But in another way, they are profoundly different. The same in that we still encounter life and challenges and death. And I dare say there will come those occasions when the phrases that I listed will come to mind. I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to work out. I've tried everything. I can't go on. My eyes are full of tears. Let us not be simplistic. It happened this morning as I drove in to be a sunny Easter morning. Some days it rains and drizzles and blows all day on Easter. Circumstances are such that you can't even see for sure when the sun comes up. This is not magical. It is not, oh, just do this and move from this to this and then you'll feel great. Nevertheless, despite that caution, I want to tell you, we are Easter people, meaning we are privileged, gifted, to have seen both sides of what was happening, what is happening as we speak. And we can expect that reality for ourselves. This is the good news, is Jesus is alive. God is the God of resurrection, so that even as we worship today and work tomorrow and live in the days to come, on this side of the screen, God is forgiving again our weaknesses. And God is saving us from our sinful chains. And God is defeating death. Yes, Pastor Jane said it right. What a beautiful Easter morning for Holly's father. Two frames. The reality of God. To be Easter people is to know what Jesus did for us, redemption, salvation, the defeat of death. Then every year, in a special way, on this day of the Christian calendar, Easter, we remind ourselves of this. No, it's not up to us. Our names will be spoken, lest we forget. And really, as Easter people, we strive to know this every day. I stand in God's presence. We sing, Jesus goes before us in his risen power. Let our time, and the song says, of worship be a hallowed hour. I would say Jesus goes before us in his risen power. Let every day of our life, every minute of our life, be a hallowed time. Because we are Easter people. We live in that reality. What am I going to do? The stone is rolled away. Let our days of faith be holy in that way. I don't know where each of you are at on your journey. I do know that I have my times in which I slide into trusting myself. When things are hard. Walking in the dark, forgetting the story. I would pray that whatever it is, whether it be in a tiny increment or suddenly in a dramatic way that you've never experienced in your life or considered, you've never thought about living in this frame. You've never thought about giving your life over to a God that is saving, giving your life to Jesus and living in that reality and trusting. We say in the name of Jesus, and that Jesus will say your name. Wherever it is in your journey, the invitation of this story is that we move into God's saving love. To believe, to trust, to listen, and to accept. I hope, I pray, that movement and that call is what God already prepared for you. That was the reality for you that you didn't know of before you came into this place. And that now, in the way that is apt for you at this point in your life, you may believe this and dry your tears and say, Master, Teacher, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.